Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning.
So we have today here an old friend of mine, Joe Canata, who we worked together a lot over the years. Started, I think, when I was at the Guam Community Council, and he has done a really good job with strategic planning, the process that he really wanted to use that. For Kaha, basically going to give an introduction to talk to you about the process that we're going to be going through in August. So I guess without further ado, I'll go so that I can manage the.
Hey, somebody's typing.
Put it on a
mute,
please, while Joe has the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Gillette. Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joe Canata, and I am the Chief Program Officer for the Guam Preservation Trust. And Gillette had called me the other day to see if we can help Kaha put together some strategic planning. I'm here. I know that I had put together slides for you to take a look at, to read, and sort of understand the method of the planning that the Guam Preservation Trust have been doing for the last 15 years. I over the last 35 years, have been involved with different types of planning, economic planning, community planning, health planning. When I came to the trust in 2005, we needed to put together some strategic planning for the trust, and we wanted to look at a 5-year strategic plan. I went and I was looking at so many, there are just so many different planning methods that you have out in the market. I contacted a good friend of mine, Peter Barcinas, from the University of Guam. And so he introduced to me a really very simple, very invigorating and just really a very good community-based planning, if that is where you want to take your planning to. If you want it to be community-driven, appreciative inquiry method of planning is really the best way I can think of. I've checked with other folks that used it, and it's worked so well for them. It's worked well for the trust, the Guam Preservation Trust. And I'm going to be introducing that to Kaha. Now, I don't want to go slide to slide with what Gillette had sent you. You've already read sort of the important parts about appreciative inquiry. What I wanted to discuss with you is what exactly you want to do. Appreciative inquiry really is, it can be applied to many different things. But specifically for strategic planning, it is a great method. I've done appreciative inquiry for a group of people that we're only going to meet for the week. So we've done this appreciative inquiry method. We're able to come up with a really great resolution for the Pacific Islands in regards to historic preservation. I've done appreciative inquiry with the Department of Interior, with World Heritage programs, and we've come up with a really good document so that we can be able to proceed forward with nominating for World Heritage sites. I wanted to introduce appreciative inquiry to the Kaha board so that they can make that decision if they want to use this method. This method really does not look at finding the problems. If we were going to sit and talk about problems, we would talk about problems till we die. But if we sit and talk about what's the best thing that could happen to our organization, to Kaha, we're going to find so many different ideas, so many different strategies that we can get Kaha moving forward. And really the best thing is looking at what Kaha has done the past, decades, and the good stuff that Kaha has done, and take that good stuff, the successes, and sort of develop that. In this whole planning process, we don't talk about anything negative, everything is positive. And we have to remind each other for that, because we are actually used to identifying problems all the time. And a lot of people think that when you identify problems, that's the way to resolve these issues. But when you identify good ideas, a lot of the problems eventually get solved without even talking about it, because everybody's focused on that good idea. And so appreciative inquiry, what it does is it gives you sort of four different processes. It's called the 4D cycle. You discover, and if you wanna, Gillette, you wanna pull that chart out. Your first step is the discovery step. And that discovery really is to look at what we've done, what Kaha has done, share it with everybody else that's going to be part of this planning focus group session. And then when you start to excite them with the positive things that Kaha has done, then you get into the dream stage. And that dream stage actually is really getting everybody's idea. What is the best thing that could happen? What do you think is the best thing that could happen to Kaha? And those ideas you'll be surprised. Lots of ideas will come out. So you record those ideas, and then you get into the design stage, which is the next, the D number three. And the design stage is where you take all of what everybody has contributed, and you go, and the board and the staff would get together to design your strategies based on what the community has offered to you as great ideas. You know, there are times when you're going to have to, you're really going to have to organize all of this, because people tend to, we tend to have duplicates, and so, You're going to find, after you've analyzed all of these great ideas, you're going to find that they're grouped in different categories, whether they be outreach and education, or they be projects, or community development. You're going to see all of these pop out. So that's how you sort of design that. And then that's where the board is going to look at this and prioritize what is it that you want to do first. You know, based on all of these ideas that you have put together, what is it that you want to do? So it's not really the community that's going to decide the priority, it's the board and the staff that's going to decide that priority. So in year one, this is what we're going to do. Year two, but by year five, we've already accomplished, and we can actually take care of everybody's ideas. And so that's how the trust is. If you look into our 5-year strategic plan that Gillette had gave you the link for, and you've taken a look at how we're able to design that plan, when you identify these people that are going to be part of it, they feel good at that. They feel that what their contribution really, that their contribution is accounted for, that their contribution is going to be taken seriously and that it's going to be implemented. And that gives you down to the delivery stage. And that delivery stage really is just the execution of your plan. There is, of course, in between all of that, there are a lot of logistical requirements. For your discovery and dream phase, you're going to have to put together focus group sessions. These focus group sessions could be with the Guam Preservation Trust. What we did was we organized it by category. So we got all the architects together and we had a focus group session with them. We got all of the archaeologists together and had focus group sessions with them. Using the same type of approach, the same method, and getting the best ideas from them. And so with Kaha, you may want to say, okay, let's get all the folk artists together and let's have a focus group session just with the folk artists. Let's get all the performing arts together. Let's have a focus group session with the performing artists. Visual arts, put them, you know, and so by the time you're done, you already have 100 people that you've gotten together to help you plan your strategic plan. And it's not just the board and the staff doing it. It's everybody else coming together to give you those ideas. Is there anything, any questions that you have that perhaps maybe this is the time that we can talk about that. How long does it take? It can take whatever amount of time you put into it. So focus group session really is just like at the most is a couple hours. You only have 1 hour. You don't want to bore your participants. So you have only 1 hour for them to give you these ideas. And then the other hour could be discussions and, you know, all of these other stuff that you know, socially you it's important. And then to meet with staff and the board, that's going to take about a week because there's a survey that you want. So when you meet with the board, you're going to, Gillette and her staff would categorize everything, put everything, organize everything. And then the board members will go in and sort of, you're given, the board members, they're given, number one, number two, number three. So in your priority level, so you're going to put number one, number two, or number three, whichever idea that is prompted for you to do. So that when you put all of them together, you already know that majority of the board thinks that this is a number one priority. This number one priority should be first year, and number two, number three, and so on and so forth. So very simple, but the most important thing really is your engagement with the community. That's the most important thing. Once the community steps in and gives their two cents, you already captured your partners. Those are going to be your partners for the next 5 years. Because when they see their idea come in, they're going to participate with whatever it is that you have because that's their idea.
Comment, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I'd just like to say that this is a really great process because you get buy-in from the community. And when you get buy-in from the community, it is much easier to elicit support from them. And the staff and I started yesterday with our sort of a different part of the strategic plan. And we've identified partners that Kaha has had in the past. And what we need to do is to reach out to those partners that have contributed or participated with us in the past, and perhaps maybe even include some of them in the strategic plan, because in the past they have supported us. So I think that what I'm trying to say is that we need to include other people. We need to include the artists, yes, but we also need to include those partner organizations and other people that have supported us through monetary contributions or volunteerism or other ways And the more people we have, the greater success that Kaha will have in the community, and it will build so much more visibility for us. So I think this is a really good process, and that's why we're here. Our clientele, we're here for the community. We're not, I mean, and of course the artists, you know, but that's our goal. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
So I recommend if you're going to do focus group sessions that you do, you use it by categories. If you want to get educators in, you get 20, and the maximum really is 20 people, because because in your focus group session, you have rules, and the number one rule is that everyone needs to participate. So you're going to go down and you're going to break up in groups, and everyone shall contribute to their idea, to the ideas. And then you have them report out, this is what we all came up with. And then you'll be surprised that there'll be some ideas that were used, you know, 3 decades ago. And because they really love that idea, they want to bring it back again. And that's good. What you're doing is you're looking at the successes of Kaha and sort of reinforcing that success and saying, this is how we want to see Kaha is, you know, through these successes.
I think Judy has-
So if you have 5 sessions, you already have 100 people contributing. If you have 20 people. And of course you're going to need some funds to get them together, because in focus group sessions, the payment for these guys to come in is really food. You're going to have to feed them. So what we did with the trust was we sort of did it during lunchtime, because we know that these people have, you know, we know that they can get out lunchtime. So we actually tell them to come earlier, eat lunch, and then we do the strategic focus group session. So you can have merienda, but always that there's always something that they can break bread together.
So I see that Judy has her hand up.
Yeah, Judy.
You need to unmute.
Yeah, okay, I have a question regarding the logistics of our strategic plan planning session, and we're having to do it all virtually. So are we going to break up that one day into smaller portions of days so that we can reach out to our various focus groups and then come back as a strategic planning group?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're faced with this, with you know, trying to keep distance, and yes, we have to look at the virtual application to a lot of these things. But when you're doing focus group session, it is really important to be face to face. So perhaps what you can do is hold your sessions in an open airs, you know, area where you can have, you know, at least 20 people, if not less, to get together, but still have that face to face, but still maintain the social distancing. It's very important, you know. And especially at this time that we have to deal with COVID, that it's important that we see each other. The Guam Preservation Trust just did their book launching, and what we had to do with our book launching is we did a hybrid. So those people that feel that they still don't want to come out to a gathering, there's a, you can have it virtual, but those people that really need to be in that face-to-face setting that you can also have that. So you can have both. You can have both virtual and face to face. But it is important to have that face to face with people. But you're going to have to be very strict. The chairs cannot be moved. And because it's an open air, it's the risk is much, much less as far as the COVID. But it's going to be a challenge. And that's something that you're going to have to work out. You can make it a hybrid, and you can make it, both face to face and virtual. So that's really, that is the reality of it that you're going to have to face. Having it totally virtual, just look at the board. Look at this meeting. You're not going to get full. You know, the commitment's not going to be there if it's just a click away. But when you have face-to-face, they know that they're going to be seeing people that they haven't seen perhaps in a long time. And it is important to connect with these people. And it is difficult. Yes, Mark?
Your volume down.
My volume? Okay, how's that? Is that going right? Good. Joe?
Yeah.
Okay. I see you, the trust. When you folks embarked on this four-cycle methodology, and I know you guys have goals, did your board went ahead and use the method goal by goal?
So the way goals are not made. So the board's participation in this is that they have to be present. You have to have at least one board member in a focus group session, so that the community can see the face of the board. You don't necessarily have to have the whole board at that focus group session, but the board's part to this could be that they become the lead. They're the ones that are going to talk to the group. They're the leaders.
Okay, because I just want to find out that, you know, this cycle, it's a great idea. But I know you folks at the trust have board members, right?
Right.
And then I know board members, they get nominated your term, every 2 years or every 3 years.
Yeah.
So I know the board members always change. Does your previous board members who take the initiative to come up with ideas on using the 4D cycle method, does the next board member continue to fulfill that project?
There are cycles for our board, but and they do change, but they don't change. They don't necessarily change when their term is up. Sometimes the governor renews their term. But your question is, do they still honor that whatever the strategic objectives are? Well, right. they have to. It's already a plan, and the plan comes in a very in a hard copy plan, and so a lot of the, and that's how the board is going to evaluate how the organization is doing. So if you follow, when you make a plan, you have to follow the plan. You know, and when you follow your plan, the results are going to be great results. And so the board, whoever the board is going to be there, That's how they look at, that's how they evaluate their organization. They're not going to evaluate you as employees. They're going to evaluate the organization itself, everybody. This is something that we need to do as a community. And so, you know, the thing I've learned about planning is that planning changes. So you don't have, because it's not etched in stone. You know, these ideas are not etched in stone. They're just ideas that spark people's, their thinking to say, this is the best that could be. But these plans change as you go on. You know, you go into year three, and maybe that's not the priority at that. Maybe it was the priority 3 years ago, but it could not be that, you know, whatever comes up, if there's opportunity for something to come before the others that is considered a priority, then by all means, take that opportunity to tackle that strategic objective, that idea. So the important thing is that it's down in black and white that you can follow. And the good thing about it is you can make those changes as you go on. Plans always change. So whether the board is in or out, there's something there that the new board is going to look at.
Thank you.
And that's helped a lot of our new board members, is we just give them the plan, and that's part of their orientation. Any other questions to that? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I still can't hear you.
Never mind.
We can hear you now, Gillette. Go ahead.
I don't know
what's
going
on. No.
You still can't hear me, Joe?
Yes,
yes, we can hear. I can hear you now.
The strategic plan is really like a roadmap of what we're going to do. And of course, things change. Just look at us now with COVID-19. I mean, everything has to change. So we have to be, you know, adaptable to that. But it's a good plan. And the fact that it's put together by, you know, the community as well as the board and the staff, is everybody has buy-in. It's I think it's very beneficial for the organization.
That, yeah. The other thing also, I'm sorry.
Done.
Yeah. The other thing also is that don't be scared to invite your leaders. So we've had a couple of senators that were part of the focus group session. We've also invited the governor's office, so there's always some representative there. And only because what it does is it reinforces the community that we're all in this together. It is a very good method of planning. And I'm saying that because we've done it already for 15 years. We've done 3 strategic plans, and we completed our first 2. Next year, we'll be starting our 4th strategic plan. And we're going through our strategic objectives, and we're saying, you know, we're ready. We got 1 more year to go, and we're almost complete with our strategic objectives. And it's shown. It's shown the successes. And really, it's really the projects that are going to market Kaha. It's the stuff that you do at Kaha that's going to market Kaha. So you don't need any advertisement. You don't need monies to marketing for marketing. All you need are great success stories. And that's what markets. I remember coming back in 2005, my board says, I have $5,000 for you to market the trust. And I asked them one question, what are you selling? You know, and perhaps maybe they can save that $5,000 for a really good, small, successful project, and that's going to market the trust. And that's how we've been doing it throughout the years. So we've reached all the way to international levels and in with the trust, with projects, and we're able to accomplish a lot of things with just everybody getting together and doing what we need to do. Any other questions?
Joe, so I know you folks get grants, right?
We get grants, we get funding, we get donations, but a lot of the stuff that we do, it's because of the work that we've done. Right. A lot of the successes, a lot of the monies that come into us, it's because of the work that they see us do, that they want us to help them do.
And with the help with the 4D method, that makes it easier for your staff and your board members to create and get these grants, and they apply your ideas on the 4D cycle, and that will help you guys a lot.
Yeah, so it does. When you have a plan and you write a grant, you're going to refer to that plan.
Right.
And a lot of grantors they look at our plan and they say, wow, this is really neat. This is great. You know, they're able to get the community together. They're able to accomplish a lot of these other things. Perhaps maybe we can trust them with our monies, and they do. So we've had individuals and corporations that have donated their assets to us because they've seen us, you know, take care of these things. And so we have a total asset of now, you know, close to $20 million.
I think Joey Certeza wanted to speak.
Hey, Joey.
I really love this idea of the focus groups and inviting, whether it be the art disciplines and categories, to even our community partners. I really believe in the whole, it's better to work together than work divided.
Right.
And hearing about how to organize and move forward with your arts organizations, and reflections to what I've learned from NASA, which is the National State Arts Assembly, is basically that main point that you did address, was you have to work with more hands involved, more organizations involved, in order to get things, the goals that you need met. And with the focus groups now in mind, would you have any kind of guidelines of how to facilitate focus groups? Because I know focus groups require a very specific protocol, especially as a facilitator. You can't really influence people to say certain things. You really have to create a non-biased attitude in a focus group, which I feel that we as board members, if we are involved, we will have to be really mindful of not presenting our views as much, but allow the participants to really give us as much information as possible. I think that will be a challenge for us. And I think having protocols and guidelines for those who are not kind of familiar with facilitating focus groups will be nice to know. And
There are rules that you follow, rules that participants follow. The board member is only there to introduce the organization, and that's about it. Then the board participates. The board gets involved, so they're not there to take over anything. The facilitator is really just facilitating. So there is going to be a choice topic that you're going to put up, and then you're going to talk about that, and then that's when people start to think. There are rules, and the number one rule is that everything is positive. You cannot identify any problems. You cannot be whining. You cannot do a lot of the negative things. Everything is positive. So we also tell participants in the focus group session that you have to police each other. You have to remind each other that this is all positive. There's no negative in this session. And you'll be surprised the outcomes of that session. The biggest outcome that I get from people in that session is that they feel good walking out, that they're not exhausted. Because when you identify lots of problems, it exhausts you, right? But when you identify ideas and really positive things, you walk out of there like you've accomplished something. You know, you feel good. It we're all human, so we need to remember that. I know I sent a Gillette this, it's called Pacific Cafe. So that's actually how it's going to, it's an illustration. It's a really very nice artful illustration of how this focus session should be carried on. It's going to tell you a lot of subjective stuff like listen, things like no negativity, stuff like drink coffee, sip tea, and really think about what other people are talking about. You know, share your ideas and so. I know it's when I was first introduced to this, it was kind of this touchy feeling kind of thing, but it really does help. It really, really helps. I've used this type of method to do many things and not just strategic planning. I've also been invited by the Archdiocese to do a session with them. I've been invited by the Rotary, Tumon Rotary, just so that they can be able to energize themselves and come up with strategic objectives. I've done this with the folks in Rohan with the revitalization plan, and with the folks in Humatec with their revitalization plan. So this community driven, community-based planning is really the way to go.
I guess my next question will be, where do we go from here now? What's our next steps?
So your next step is to sit with the staff is going to sit down, and I've given Gillette some instructions, you know, stuff to really ponder about. This is trying to look at how you're going to, what is your topic choice? What type of topic that you want in a given focus group session. Those are the things, because that topic is really, that statement is really going to drive everybody to think about it. And so I can help you, we can meet with Gillette and the staff, and I can help you guys put together these focus group session agenda. And then Gillette can take it from there. Okay. So it will be up to the staff now to take the plan and run it. So I've given Gillette enough documents so that they can start one for themselves. It will take probably the whole month of August, if anything.
That's what I'm looking
at. So I can't, Gillette, I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we were planning to have the sessions in August. I just need to come up with a schedule and find a location and do all that. So I'll be contacting the board members to find out their availability. But for the panel discussions, like I said, we'll have at least one board member at each one, but not all, the whole board does not need to attend all of the sessions. That will be done at the end, right?
Right. So yeah, after you've completed your focus group sessions and you've got together with your board and you've designed what the plan is going to be, and then you come up with a really nice document, then you invite everybody together and you celebrate. And they're going to see their names. So when you go into the Guam Preservation Trust strategic plan, all of the names of the folks that participated in the focus group session is in it. And so it just makes them feel that it is, that they're appreciated. And that's the whole thing about the appreciative inquiry method.
And if I can say, as far as the participation on the panels, I'll be looking to the board members to identify some of those people. And then I would like to be able to identify people from the past, as I said before, that have been involved with CAHA in some other way from the community that we can include in the various panels, which will be kind of based on the genres, I think. But we can include organizations and other people in the different genres, wherever they were, wherever they participated in the past. Does anyone have any questions?
Gillette. Sorry. This is Rolly.
Hey, Rolly.
Can I just say something? Joe, I yes. Thank you for this opportunity, you know, giving us this simple workshop, or shall we call it like an introduction to this matter. Okay. So, I think we're going to have, since we're going to have a meeting next, is that August 4, right? Is it August 4, Jeanette? Or at the board meeting?
Yes, August 4.
I think we should, my suggestion is if we could start thinking of, you know, talking about what's the best priority of topics that we can, you know, discuss. So I know we're going to come up with different ideas, and which suggestion should be prioritized. And so I think that would be the best time that, you know, we could decide what is going to be the topic to be discussed, right? On August 4. So each of the board members should start thinking of the things we should, you know, be talking about, suggestions that we could come up. And by then that's the time we could start, you know, what is supposed to be the priority. Right? That's just my opinion. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Joe, can you give some examples of the priorities that you have had?
So for Guam Preservation Trust, we just had one topic statement, and we applied it to all of the focus group sessions. But the topic statement is quite broad. Like I think for one year it was what we did was we looked at their mission. And we infuse our mission into that statement. And, you know, your mission is always very broad, that it covers everything. So when you're developing your topics or a statement for your focus group session, you're going to have to sort of infuse in what your vision and your mission is. Those are the two important things that you have to look at. Those are what sets your priority, is your vision and your mission. You always have to follow your mission. So we always use our mission, you know, when we're developing our topic. And we're hoping our vision really is once we've accomplished that mission, then we've already accomplish that vision, how we want to see the trust or how we want to see Kaha in this sense. So when you're developing your topic, start with your mission. Yeah.
I'd just like to say something. Not particularly this process, but I think we also need to look at our mission and to see if it can be tightened up a little bit. And I know that along with the staff, we sort of looked at it and we have a suggestion that we can present to the board. Maybe that's the place to start.
Maybe, yes. I think every year I always present to my board our vision and our mission. And I ask the board, is this okay? Is this what you want? And every year they would, either make changes, very little. Sometimes it's just changing da to ah. but the whole gist is always there. But yes, you need to, every year you need to visit your mission. You have to take it, the whole staff and everybody that's involved with Kaha, deeply involved with Kaha, should memorize that mission. It should always be ingrained in them. That's why your mission should be nice and short, so you can know it. You know, the Guam Preservation Trust's mission, two words, preserve and protect. But yeah, start with your mission. Any other questions?
So, Joe, when you use the 40 appreciative cycle, it didn't take long for you folks to execute your programs.
We didn't take long because we make sure that we prioritize these programs that we've identified. So once you've put together your plan, in your plan you have year one, this is what you need to do. Year two, this is what you need to do. And so you focus on that. So when people are writing grants, what we've done is we've aligned our plan to our grant program. So we're telling communities that are interested in our grants, identify your idea, your proposal in our strategic plan, because that's going to give you more points, because we're going to say, okay, we're looking for people to help us execute our strategic plan. And so if you have people applying for grants, make sure that the proposal is aligned to your strategic plan. And that way it really makes a lot of sense. You know, you're focused on this plan, you're focused on what you need to do, and you're forcing the community to also focus on the same thing. So whether they participated in your focus group session or not, but everything that you're doing, it should be aligned to whatever your plan calls for. And it's much easier to organize, it's much easier to manage, and it's much easier to report to your funder, whether it be NEH, that based on the community, based on the strategic plan, we've already accomplished all of these things. It's good management practice. Any other questions?
I guess I don't have a question, more so just a comment. I really want to just move now, because it's like, to me, it's good energy.
Yeah.
I'm excited to now bring in the artisans into the conversation, because I know their voices have been wanting to be heard. So This is a really good positive, and I think this is a great collective effort to really do something now and move forward. So I'm ready to move.
Yeah. It's
so Gillette, by all means, and staff, allow us board members to help you guys out in whatever capacities we are able to. I know you guys already tasked us to envision some priorities in terms of topics to discuss. And you asked us to create suggestions on who would be valuable in these focus group sessions. Though we do not know categories, I think we can at least present people that would be a great value into those discussions. Joe, if there's anything else that maybe the board members can also provide the staff to help assist them, let us know how else we can help move this ball rolling.
I just recommend that the board members stay away from the staff, the first parts to it, and because your part is going to come when you start designing it. That's where you need the board members, is to help design this this whole plan. That means you're going to have to be reading all these ideas again. You're going to have to prioritize these ideas, and that's coming from the board. It's not going to come from the staff. Let the staff handle the front line. Let the staff handle the first parts to facilitate all of this, to get all of this stuff together. They're going to put and organize all of these ideas together. They're going to present it to you as a board member, and then you as a board member, now that's your duty. And the thing about it is you don't even have to think, because all the thinking was done for you, you know, to come up with this plan, you know. And all you're going to have to do is just gloat on how these good ideas, they're all good ideas. They really are. And how are you going to be able to accomplish all of this in 5 years? Sometimes you're going to sort of group things together so you can accomplish two or three things at one time. Those are the things that you want to, as board members, would be thinking about, but not until you get these ideas into your laps and to start feeling good about the organization again.
And what about resources? Is, you know, we can come up with these really great plans, but I'm still not quite sure how that fits.
How it works. Like a plans.
Yeah. Don't have the resources for it. So I guess we need to keep that in mind. I don't know. Joe, can you please talk about that? Because I'm still not sure.
Okay. So one board member will always tell me, you're so good at wishful thinking, you know, but we need to wish all the time, because that's what makes things happen, is dreaming and wishing, and that's what motivates us to get things done. So how is it done? So you get an idea. For instance, somebody, let me pull one out here at the trust. There's this one from the archaeology community. It says develop and implement. What they wanted to do was they wanted to start a field school. They wanted to train up and coming young people. So they wanted to start a field school so that they can train these people to become archaeologists. We don't have local archaeologists on the island. And so we took that idea and we said, okay, we're going to develop and implement archaeology field school for underwater archaeology and for directed archaeology. And so we did that. We have now, and it's now at the University of Guam, an underwater archaeology class. We have now, and thanks to our partners in Spain, we have directed archaeology that's been going on it's going to be our fourth year, where they get PhD candidates to come together and go and do a archaeological survey done in the village of Humatec to look at Spanish architecture. And so they're actually doing directed archaeology, you know, as we speak. So we've already accomplished, and so we identified how much really is it going to cost us? What are the milestones? Milestones meaning when are we going to do it? So we said we'll do it on the third quarter of 2018 to 20, every third quarter, 2018 to 2022. So it's a continuous program for the field school. So every quarter, we're going to have one, a field school, which is really up at the University of Guam now. We've sort of helped develop that. And then archaeology is their third quarter for 2019. So in 2019, we were able to accomplish that. Actually, it started since 2017. And that's what I meant by the opportunities there. Grab it. It doesn't, don't say we don't want it because it's not a priority. No, if the opportunity is there, the resources are there, then it becomes a priority for you because you need to accomplish it. It's already been identified in your plan. So even if you say, oh, that's not until 3 years from now. No, if the opportunity is ripe at that moment, take it and accomplish it. That way you can accomplish something else in place of that in 3 years. So the staff would have to sit down and sort of think, what are the resources available? And you don't have to call them up and ask them, can you do this? No, identify them and just call it proposed lead organizations or call it proposed funding sources. So they're all proposed, you know, they're not etched in stone, they're all proposed. And so that's how you start your efforts, is you identify them as proposed, you identify the amounts as proposed, and then you, when it's time to court them, you court them, say, hey, we have this project, perhaps you can help us with this. We identified you as a resource. And because it falls under their jurisdiction, it's good. They're going to do it. So that's how you develop the different strategies. Because the first step is getting the board to prioritize it. And then you identify, after they prioritize it, then you identify your proposed lead organizations, your proposed funding sources, your estimated costs, and then your milestones. And then the staff actually takes care of that.
But just to clarify, this is after we have gotten all the information from the...
Right.
So I think really we need the focus groups in order to move to the next steps.
Yes. But first, so, think about your mission first, because you need your mission for your focus group, your statement, your topic choice.
So as maybe another suggestion for us board members is to revisit the Kaha mission and come August 4th at our next board meeting, suggest to our staff about what ways can we envision an improvement to the current mission. Is that something that board members can do?
So the staff can put together some draft mission. You guys look at it, you guys add on to it or delete it, or make some changes, and then at your board at your board meeting you approve it.
Okay, so then would that be helpful for us board members to assist the staff in having like an email thread, just trying to hash out this mission statement from now till August 4th?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm okay with that. That's something that can be done on my half.
Yeah.
I like I said, we worked on something, so I can send you that. I can send you the current.
That'd be a nice way to start off.
The current mission and then the revised mission that we looked at, and you can go to.
Hi everybody. Does this all lead into that creative placemaking?
Oh. The creative placemaking is a totally different thing, and upon further research into that, CAHA, we can be involved as far as an advisory capacity, but we cannot apply for that grant. It has to be come from the government, like the governor or the lieutenant governor, and a nonprofit organization. Actually, this might be something that you might be interested in, Joe, with the Preservation Trust. I did send it to the lieutenant governor, and he was interested in it, but I'm not sure what the plans are for that. But CAHA cannot be an applicant for that particular grant. We can't get any money from it, but we can be involved in it.
And I think that's a good possibility that we can empower as we envision our strategic plans. Like, that could be one of our end goals, especially if that's been advised by our participants at the focus groups as well. But yeah, I think it's a great possibility. I've been looking at the creative placemaking as well. I think it has great value that we, if anything, we can envision something of our own here on island, especially if we're able to use percent of the arts funds, that can assist us in creating that our own version of the creative placemaking that Jilla has presented to us.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, anything else? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Gillette, you're muted at the moment.
Sorry. Okay. No, I was just going to say that if there's no other questions, I'd like to thank Joe. Does anyone have any questions or comments or anything else? Do you have anything you want to say, Joe?
Well, you know, I'm always willing to help out. So if you need a facilitator, I can help you facilitate, Gillette. We can be co-facilitators. And I can sit with you. I can sit with you, maybe later on this week, just so that you can look at your first steps and how you're going to be able to, sort of plan out this focus group session.
Come up with a
that way you can present it to the board and they can approve it at that
time. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. We need a facilitator.
Okay. It's always good to get a lot of people to help out. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'll see you guys later. I'm always here. Stop by.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you all for taking the time to participate.
Yes.
This is Rossi. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, how do I do this? End, stop recording, and mute.